I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench with Mafia. What did you think of the Eddie Alvarez fight? He just got beat again and unanimous decision. And that guy, I mean, I don't even know who he is, but whatever, some dude from Singapore. And I mean, he knocked him, the Farrell, out in that first round. I can't even believe that he got through that round. I cannot believe, because he got hit like 30 seconds into that fight. And he was, I mean, that guy knocked him out, and he was on the ground. I mean, he didn't know where he was, and I have no idea how he took that abuse, those hammer fists, and that guy on top of him just hammering away at his face, and somehow he was able to, like, throw his hands up and, like, try to block some of the punches, and then he was kicking him, trying to kick him off of his body and, you know, with his feet. And that's why that ref didn't stop that fight. I thought the ref did a great job of not calling that fight. Whereas I told you, in a UFC fight, I got to be honest with you, if a guy knocks someone out that hardcore and the guy tips over like a tree like that, they just stop the fight. I mean, I don't know how many times, you know, I'm telling it like it is. I don't know how many times I've seen a UFC, the guy knocks a guy out. If they take a heavy shot and they're going down like a tree, they just stop it. They don't even let the guy get on top of them and start hammering away at their face. But in this fight in Singapore, they let that guy get on top of him, and just, he must have punched him 50 times in the head with his fist. I couldn't believe the abuse he was taking.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely depends on the ref and how the guy goes down. I mean, you even saw in that fight, the ref came rushing in like they're about to jump in the middle and stop it. And then, you know, they saw that he was, I guess, you know, awake barely, but he was awake. And, you know, he started squirming and trying to block punches and avoid the contact. So, you know, once they saw that he was moving and trying to defend himself, they let it go a little bit longer. They stopped themselves and backed it up there. And they were keeping a close eye, though, because he took some brutal punches in that first round, got back up. Eventually started landing some shots himself, but it was, you know, a lot of damage on himself and on, you know, the scorecards. Although they do it different with one, it's not like the round by round. It's as a whole, but still, that was a big hill for him to climb up after that. And he tried to do that. He tried to come back in that third round, especially, and get some good shots in. He tried to come back in the second, but it was more of an even round, I would say, probably more to his competitor. And then he tried to make that push in the third round, but it wasn't enough to overcome what happened in that first, the way he got dropped like that.
So explain this to me. That guy, to me, Eddie Alvarez, like, we saw him get disqualified for the punch to the back of the head a couple weeks ago. And then they reversed the decision and made it a no contest. And so he didn't lose after all. So then 2 weeks later, here he is fighting on 1-4, which is the one championships, 4 on TNT, which is on right now. And we see him get in there again. He's still got a shiner on his eye when he walks in the ring. Like, it's like he fought yesterday or something. Even though you're probably right. He probably got it in training. I don't know how much training he did for this fight because he just fought 2 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, maybe 3 weeks tops. And here he is again in the octagon fighting. And I got to ask you, like, he looks to me. Now, listen, I saw him throw hands. I saw him trying to take the guy down. I saw him getting involved. It wasn't like he was not doing anything. But I have to tell you, you know, and first, you know, just let me say, I think, you know, he's still tough, no doubt. I want to welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. There you go. So here's the deal. I just have to ask you, do you think he's like, is he crazy that he keeps fighting? Because every time I turn the TV on now and see Eddie Alvarez, he's getting his ass beat.
You know, it's very hard right now with guys like him, you know, because like you said, he still has it as far as the ability to fight. You know, he was landing shots. He shook the guy a little bit towards the end of the first round. He still has that wrestling game. We saw how he just completely took his opponent down, threw him on the ground, and was, you know, beating him up in that last fight before he got the BS DQ. The problem for him, though, and the thing he's going to have to worry about and watch out for, because, you know, you never know how it's going to affect you down the line. We don't have the studies on these guys yet that we have on boxing, on football, on hockey, is that his chin is definitely starting to go. You see that now. He used to be able to take a lot more of a beating. He got dropped in his first fight in one. He got KO'd in that fight. You know, and then now this one is another one where he gets dropped, and he recovers, he comes back. But, you know, if the chin can't take the same abuse, and you're going down on, you know, a good punch or two here or there, at some point you gotta look and say, you know, is this worth it? Because you're putting yourself at risk and you're putting your future and your family at risk.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's putting his family and future at risk and his health because, I mean, he's constantly getting knocked down. Knocked the Pharrell out. And then he's, you know, on the ground and he's trying to survive and he's got some young guy cranking him and hammer fisting him. I mean, that's unbelievable to me. Now, this next fight is the title fight. The champ is fighting, and he's taking on some guy, Riddier or whatever, who's won 12 in a row, and he looks like he's from, like, I don't know, Sweden or something. I don't know where that name's from. It's definitely Dutch, right? He's definitely Dutch or something, maybe Danish. Who knows? But this fight's coming up. This is a championship fight. This is a 5-round fight that I'm going to watch. As soon as that's over, I'm going to get into the Suns game with the Clippers. I cannot believe I'm watching these one fights instead of the Clippers-Sun game. It's Pharrell on a bench.
When you're sick, you call a doctor. When your pipes break, you call a plumber. And when you're ready to win,
you keep it right here.
For sports gaming strategies and information, experts.
It's a thing.
The home of the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're excited to have Felix Taverna on from Mightier 1090 in San Diego. He does an incredible show on Saturdays all about, you know, horse racing. And it's the racing show that everybody digs in Southern California. I dig it because I love the ponies. We've had on for years Edzo, Eddie Olczyk. We've had John Da Silva from Parks, the morning odds maker, for years on my show. It's good that we have another new brother in the horse racing business, Felix Taverna, to join us. Felix, thanks for coming on the bench tonight. You do a great job on your show. I know it's extremely popular out in Southern California because people there appreciate certainly horse racing more than they do here. I mean, they do in New York. They love racing. Let's face facts. Belmont and Aqueduct and whatever, Monmouth Park, there's definitely good horse racing here, the Meadowlands, the Trotters, whatever. But, you know, when I lived in Southern California, I used to go to Hollywood Park all the time and Santa Anita and Del Mar, and I just always thought it was better out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the racing is very, very good here. You know, we've had our roller coaster ride over the last 18 or 22 months, but overall racing is on the upswing. The great time of the year. Thank you very much for having me on. We're fellow Pittsburghers. You're a Mount Lebanon guy. I'm an Elwood City, Newcastle, Beaver Falls guy, but we run the same route. Horse racing got Belmont Park on Saturday. Fans allowed back on the track. The Kentucky Derby down at Churchill Downs this Saturday. The best 2 minutes in sports. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it doesn't. All right, so let's start by, before we get into all this about the race and the horses and the odds and everything, I want to get into your background a little bit. So you're from Pittsburgh now. You know, that's great. Obviously I love Pittsburgh. It's my hometown. So that's amazing. But I've been told that you used to work for my old boss and dear friend. Now, listen, I love Jerry Cutner. Okay. So, you know, when I think back to my career, honestly, I was nobody. I was just absolutely nobody when I went to Vegas and Jerry Cutner put me on a Saturday on the Sports Entertainment Network on a Saturday for 6 hours from like 6 a.m. until noon. And I went bonkers on the air. I just flipped out on the air. And this guy came in, he drove into the station and he stared at me through the window as I was doing the show and turning colors, and his jaw dropped open. I had never seen a reaction like that because I had never really, you know, I had done radio for years. And before that, everywhere I'd been in, Bloomington, Indiana, doing the Bob Knight show. I'd been in Pittsburgh doing morning and afternoon drive. I'd been in Chicago doing talk radio, but I had never done national radio, right? So here I am in Vegas doing the show, and I see this guy with his jaw dropped open. And the next thing you know, the guy's like, come back tomorrow and do it again. And then I knew I had him on the hook. And then once I started doing it for him, the next thing I know, this guy puts me on nationally. And then the next thing I know, the guy puts me on in morning drive on KVEG in Las Vegas. So I was doing two shows a day for Jerry. And I can't even believe someone has told me that you used to work for Jerry. Is that true?
That's where the show started. I was in Southern California. My father passed away on the flight back from Pittsburgh to California. I was thinking, how do I reinvent myself? I wanted to do horse racing because I grew up in Del Mar in my second home, Solana Beach, actually, Southern California, since 1977. So I asked a friend, this is a great story. I asked a friend in Vegas, I called him and said, can you do me a favor? Can you rip out all the radio stations in Las Vegas and send me in from the Yellow Pages? And he did. Next couple of days came, and I just started contacting all these stations saying, hey, I want to do this horse racing show. Would you allow me an hour every Saturday and Sunday? And I went down. One guy said, no, it would never work. The next radio station said, no, we're not interested. And then Jerry Cutner picked up the phone at KVEG 840. This was in 1995. This was the same time that you right. and I hit Vegas at the same time, never knowing each other. And Jerry wow. Cutner says, sure. He says, if you give me a check, you're on the air as soon as that check clears. And 1995, the Thoroughbred Hotline with my late radio partner Ken Daniels began to run, and 25 years later, here we are.
Wow, that is crazy. So I had a great relationship with Jerry. Now Jerry had quite the reputation in radio, and certainly in Vegas, he had quite the reputation. Now I don't know if you knew this, but like Jerry made his bones in the car business in Philly. Like he was like, to me, he was like a mobster from Philly that ended up in Las Vegas, and he had all kinds of money. So he started this sports radio network. And, you know, he had two things. He had the sports radio network, which was in 300 cities. It was really cool. He was the first guy to ever do. He really was the first guy to ever do national sports talk radio. And I mean, there was no sports talk radio networks anywhere. He had the first and only, and he was doing syndicated sports talk so stations could pick up affiliates. And then he had this 840 AM KVG, and he had me doing morning drive. And then I would go over and do the show for SEN. And then I would go out, and I mean to tell you, now, Jerry and I partied with Jerry like you have no idea. I mean, you have no idea how much I partied with Jerry. I mean, Jerry and I hit it off like, you know, two guys from Pittsburgh, like you and I would hit it off in Pittsburgh. I hit it off with this guy, and he made me. He put me on and made me huge. And then the next thing you knew, I was working at CNN in Atlanta, and because the show just blew up and got so huge. But I remember him putting me on. Not only did he put me on in Vegas doing mornings, then he put me on doing I was doing the Jerry Tarkanian show. I mean, what didn't that guy do for me? Honestly, I think that is the most fantastic story, that's how you got your horse show rocking, was through Jerry Kuttner in Las Vegas. That just blows my mind. How funny is it that his son is like this lawyer in Vegas? Have you ever seen him? He's on every commercial every day on TV, and he's everywhere at the hockey games and everything else. His son, Adam Kuttner, I remember Adam when he was a little kid, and you do too, right? Like, so he used to come around the radio station. I cannot believe that you're telling me this story. That's crazy.
Well, let me tell you this, that Jerry Tarkanian is my best friend of all time. I had a relationship with Jerry over 15 years after he retired from, or he got pushed out at UNLV. But, right. You know, KVEG, I want you to know, and you probably do know this, but I want your audience to know this, KVEG 840 AM in Las Vegas was a 50,000-watt clear channel station that boomed into five Western states. And I can listen to KVEG being in San Diego. The station was huge, and I do remember that quite well.
Well, how about this, Felix? And we'll come back. We're going to break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the race. But the same thing holds true for 1090. I mean, that signal coming out of Tijuana is the greatest radio signal I've ever heard in my life. I mean, you can hear it in Canada. I mean, you can hear it in Vegas. You can hear it everywhere. That 1090 is so badass. That stick is insanity. Now, I have just a few seconds. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back, and we're going to break down. I think it's great that you were on KBG and everyone could hear you all over the West Coast. And you and I worked there at the same time. And then now you're on 1090, and everyone can hear you all over the West Coast and wherever the hell else, from heaven to hell, that signal goes. But we're going to come back with Felix Taverna and talk about the Kentucky Derby Saturday, the odds, who to bet on, you name it. We're rocking on a bench.
Guys, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
Felix Taverna does race and sports radio on Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana. Do you wanna? So, how do you like doing the show on 1090? Are you having fun? Is it taking off? Are people digging it? Because I hear that they are, because they love the ponies so much.
Oh yeah, you know, this is our second time around. We were on 1090 back in the mid-2000s, and what Bill Hagan has done, you know, 1090 went off the air for 18 months, and Bill Hagan rejuvenated that signal and during a pandemic, and he's done nothing short of a tremendous job there at 1090. And I was driving to Vegas, and I got the signal 150 miles north of San Diego, Escondido, and I had a call last week that somebody was listening to the radio program in Utah. The station is huge, and you should be so proud to be on a station, because seven Southern California counties, 15 million people radius today, can listen to the Scott Farrell on the Bench show.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I get calls from Vancouver. People are like, you know, can hear it everywhere. I remember it because I was on it back in the day when it was 690, when I lived in Huntington Beach. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but I go there all the time. Like I go to San Diego every summer. I like going to La Jolla. I like going to Huntington Beach. I like going to Laguna. I'm going to Capistrano. Oh yeah. I love Del Mar. I've been there a thousand times. I mean, I love it. I've been to every racetrack there 1,000 times. I love going to the track. So, I love it. Like I'm out there surfing.
We would have to get our boy, Scott Kaplan, you to meet personally because I've never met you before and entertain ourselves to a day at the Del Mar racetrack this summer.
Wow. I mean, I'm coming out there. So the 23rd, which is like a Friday of July. And then for the rest of the month, I'm going to stay till I think I come back to New York City on the 1st or something like that. I go back on the air on the 2nd or something. I'm going to be out there for like 7 or 8 days, something like that. I usually go out for, you know, 10 days or whatever every summer surfing and hanging out. I loved it. I lived there for a long time. So I love it there. It's my favorite place, bar none, in America, without question, without hesitation. I just think it's fantastic. I grew up going to Rancho Bernardo. My grandparents lived there. I was lucky. And then when I moved, when I did my show out all through the 90s in L.A., I did it in Culver City. I lived in Huntington Beach. So I lived in Southern California for a long time. I miss it. And so I just go back every year to just do keep it in my blood. You know what I'm saying? All right. So let's, Felix, tell me what you think of Essential Quality coming out of that 14 shot at 2-1.
Not with my money. He has done nothing wrong, but I go back to that bluegrass race and he was all out to win that race. I think that you're going to have to use him in your exotics, but I'm not playing him to win at that price, 2-1. That's for sure.
So what horses do you like in the race Saturday?
I like three or four of them, but I'm zeroing in on number 17, Highly Motivated, the son of Into Mischief. Chad Brown never has won the Derby. Javier Castellano's been on this colt. I went back today, earlier this morning, and watched a number of races, especially the bluegrass that was run down at Keeneland. This colt has front-running speed, and he's been off a month now, so the bluegrass ran just 30 days ago. I'm telling you and your audience that at 10-1 morning line, that's the value of the race. And you can either bet Essential Quality at 2-1 or go for a real solid overlay, which I believe would be Highly Motivated at 10-1. That's number 17, Scott.
I love that horse. So I used to go to Keeneland when I went to Indiana University. We used to drive to Keeneland for the bluegrass. That's a great track as well. What a great spot that is. Very popular place. What other horses do you like in this thing? I've heard a lot of stuff. Early on before, you know, I got you on the air, I've been hearing about these other horses beyond Highly Motivated. Like, what are you going to package it with?
Well, tell me who you've been hearing about. If you ask me about any horse in the field, I'll tell you what I think about them. There's 20 colts that are going a mile and a quarter. There's a lot of value in this race. 5 horses are 50-1. 4 horses are 30-1. So you're going to get value. And basically, I'm looking for some exacta trifecta partners that have big odds. Who's your preference? Who do you like?
Well, I haven't gotten crazy yet with it. You're the first guy I've had on. Usually I'll have on Da Silva on Friday, and I start getting itchy, and we'll have Ed Olchek on, and I get crazy. And then the day of, I go and I get a bunch of tickets going. So I get it all going. So this is my first splash into it. I've heard about, the 7 horse at 15-1, that Mandaloon. Do you like that horse?
Mandaloon. I watched that race again. I went back to the Louisiana Derby. Mandaloon, he didn't finish well. That race was off the charts fast. Mandaloon would probably be a colt that I would use. I think you got to use several of them. I think Hot Rod Charlie, he's loving it down in Kentucky. He's a California horse trained by Doug O'Neill. Going to be very, very strong. Mike Smith gets on Midnight Bourbon for Steve Asmussen at 20-1. I think you have to look at that. Tyler Gaffalione's on a horse called Soup and Sandwich.
I like that horse.
30-1 for Mark. Soup and Sandwich is a very dangerous horse on the outside here. Can he get the mile and a quarter? I'm not so sure, but he definitely has the speed. But I want to tell you that for the last 8 weeks, Scott, we've been on 1090 with Racing Sports Radio covering all the prep races, and right. I can assure you that we have watched every race. Highly Motivated is going to be a horse that's going to be right there at the end.
Yeah, I believe that. What about Known Agenda?
See, Known Agenda was another major horse that I had on my list. And Known Agenda, the train is going by. I'm just outside a great restaurant on Solana Beach that we will all have dinner and drinks when you come to the Del Mar Racetrack. Known Agenda drew the rail. You're going to have a – especially you're a Mount Lebanon guy, you know. I mean, you're the king of high school football. You're high school with the great Art Walker, the great coach back in Mount Lebanon.
That's but right.
Back to Known Agenda. Known Agenda, drew the rail, and his race in the Florida Derby tops the chart. Hey, let's make no mistake about it. Bob Baffert had the Kentucky Derby winner named Life Is Good, got injured after the Santa Anita Derby is off the Derby trail. Life Is Good would destroy this field by all means. Known Agenda drew the dreadful rail. Can he avoid getting around 19, or can he get around 19 other colts from that position? Because there's that big, long run before the first turn down at Churchill. But Known Agenda broke my heart when he drew the rail, because this is a very, very nice colt indeed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then what about the other one? You talked about Midnight Bourbon at 20-1. What about Dynamic One? Is that another horse that people are into?
Now, Dynamic One is another Todd Pletcher. Todd Pletcher has four colts that are part of this 20-horse field. Dynamic One drew in because there were some late scratches and injuries. His father is Union Rags. I don't think the distance would be a question. He's going to be ridden by Jose Ortiz, and as mentioned, Todd Pletcher. I don't think so. I don't think he is ready. And everybody's talking about Rock Your World out of California here, who won or ran second, or won the Santa Anita Derby, actually.
Right.
And he's getting a lot. He's getting a lot of steam. You know, usually before the Kentucky Derby, Scott, there's a lot of steam. That there's the wise guys get down there and they get that information and they release a steam horse. Rock Your World might be a steam horse.
Your boy, the wise guys. Your boy Jerry Kuttner. He's one of those guys. He probably had the intel on the horses. Did they ever? And I respectfully, I got 1 minute. Did they ever fix the problem at Santa Anita with the all the horses dying?
Oh yeah, that was very tragic. We went over that. You know, the rains were very treacherous that winter, and then we ran right into a pandemic, and now we're getting back on track. We're hoping and praying that we can get fans back to Del Mar this summer. I went for the first time in 45 years, not right. able to go to Del Mar to cover this game, and there's no better place. Believe me when I tell you, if, you know, you're coming out July 23rd, you should move that up a week, because opening day is July 16th or 18th that weekend prior, and there's no better day in sports than opening day at Del Mar.
I would love to go. The Surf and Turf at Del Mar, there's nothing better. Felix, I get a huge kick out of you. You're awesome. Thanks so much for coming on the bench. Enjoy the Derby. I'll get you back on the show soon. Hopefully I'll meet you when I'm in Southern California. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Highly Motivated.
Highly Motivated, he says.
We'll be right back. Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all on a bench. So anyway, I want to tell you, I got a kick out of Felix. That was great. And I'll tell you another story in a minute about the guy in Vegas that I used to work for, if I can remember. But I got to tell you about this fight. Ruiz and Areola, of course, Saturday night, a Mexican extravaganza. I love this card. Because you got the two heavyweights going to try to kill each other. Ruiz, of course, is the guy. Remember, he came in at 300 pounds or whatever and knocked Anthony Joshua out and stole his heavyweight championship. Stunned the world. One of the biggest upsets besides Buster Douglas probably ever in the heavyweight division. And then he came back, lost the second fight. And now he's come in 30 pounds down to take on LA's Chris Areola. A violent heavyweight fight. Plus, the undercard is amazing. All Mexican fighters. Figueroa against Ramos, Fandora against Cota, Ramos against Molina. Plus, you've got at 7 Eastern, the Cuban star and super welterweight champ, Arislandi Lara, taking on Thomas Lamana. That's at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. The pay-per-view begins at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. It's $49.99. You can get the pay-per-view on foxsports.com/pay-per-view. It's a Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view this Saturday night. Ruiz and Areola, order the fight now through your cable operator. There you go. So anyway, Mafia, Jerry used to run the stations in Vegas that I worked for. He ran the Sports Entertainment Network with the first guy I ever knew that did a sports talk syndication and national radio shows, and it was on 300 plus stations. It was crazy. It was Papa Joe Chevalier, John Renshaw, myself. It would later become One-on-One Sports, then Sporting News Radio, and on and on and on. It just through the years changed names 100 times, whatever. I think it, you know, to be honest with you, I think eventually it became what it is now, Sports Map. I think that's what it is. It became Sports Map Radio. At the end of the day, that's where it started. That's where it ended. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is. But Jerry and I, oh my God, Jerry Kuttner and I, it's been almost 30 years since I knew Jerry. And oh my God, I can't even begin to tell you how hard we partied. I had so much fun with that guy. We used to go out in Vegas to dinner at like Caesar's Palace. We would go to the Bacchanal Room or to fancy restaurants at Caesar's. I mean, they would literally carry us out of that place. They would carry us out of Caesar's Palace. I mean, we drank. I mean, just I can't even fathom how much booze I drank with him and partied so hard. He was so much fun, this guy. He was like De Niro in Goodfellas. I mean, he was just such a classic. What a gem that guy was. Now, I know people, whatever, don't like him, this, that. There's people that, you know, everybody's got opinions of everybody. And I remember Jerry had quite the reputation. But for me, it was all good. I have nothing but good things to say about him. I loved him. He made me. He put me on national radio. He gave me a massive show. And I got bigger and bigger and bigger because of Jerry, and it all came to a head for me with Jerry Kuttner in Vegas, and I loved it. And I was on KVG locally. I did the national show. I mean, I got huge working for Jerry. And then I went, and the rest is history. I ended up at, you know, CNN Atlanta, and then KMBR San Francisco, and then CBS Infinity and Westwood One with Pharrell and a Bench out of WFAN New York, and I've been basically in New York ever since, but I did spend 10 years out in San Francisco and Los Angeles. So I loved it there, and it all started in Vegas with Jerry Kuttner. That's crazy. That is crazy, that story that Felix was telling me about working for Jerry at the same station, KBEG 840 AM, 50,000 watt clear station, another kick-ass AM radio station out in the West Coast that just booms forever. You know, it's weird. In the East Coast, these 50,000 watters, they get tripped up by bad weather and you name it. crappy every day here. The snow, the wind, the rain, the ice, the storms. It's just the stations don't come in. They just don't come in. I mean, you can live 20 minutes from Manhattan. You can't even hear a 50,000-watt all-news station. I mean, are you kidding? And you do that in California, you do that in Southern California or in the West or in Arizona or in Nevada where you get, you know, 300-plus days of sunshine a year. They don't have those problems with their radio signals. They go forever. They boom forever. A 50,000-watt booms forever. The one in 1090 is so huge. I mean, that's the best radio signal I ever heard in my life. So they got it going on like you have no idea, that signal. That signal is just the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life. So how crazy is that, that Felix and I, I never really knew him, and we never crossed paths, but we were there at the same time. I think I was actually there 2 years before him. So I was definitely there in 93. That's when I worked for Jerry. 93 was when I was on SEN and KBG. And then I went from there to CNN. And in 94, I was in San Francisco. So like 92, 93, I was in Vegas. So that was when I worked for Jerry. And now, and then we worked at the same station. Now we're both on 1090 in San Diego. It's just crazy. I thought he was great on the show. We'll get him back on for the Preakness and the Belmont. And then I think Friday on the, is it Friday night on the radio show, we're going to have Da Silva Mafia?
Yes, it is Friday night, 11:25 Eastern. You're gonna have him on. So anybody who, you know, for all you people that listen for years to Da Silva on our show, wait for those picks. Friday night, 11:25 Eastern.
All right. So your boy just stole the championship from the champ in the one on TNT. The challenger won the fight. You tell me what happened. He What do you mean he's double champ? Oh, he was already the 205 champ.
He was the 180 champ, lightweight. I mean, middleweight. Oh. Sorry, and that was light heavyweight champ as well. So yeah, he dominated that fight. There was, you know, the first and the last rounds, the champ kind of did his thing. In the last round, you saw him dominate. You know, get on top of him and beat him up a little bit. The first round, he had some good strikes on the feet, but you know, DeRitter, I thought, dominated two, three, four, just taking down the champ, just beating him up. You know, working him. You saw him in the corners. He was gassed. He was tired. He was breathing heavy. I thought he just did what he needed to do. To kick ass and just take him down and control him those three rounds, and that won him that fight.
How about the guy wins? He's got two belts and he stands there like he's bored to death. He wins and there's confetti going everywhere. They're holding up the Dutch flag and the guy looks like I think he looks exhausted. Yeah, so that's what I think it is. He's so tired he can't even lift his arms. He's just like I don't care. I'm the champ. Two different belts. I'm the champ. How funny is it? Like these guys, like Conor McGregor, they get two belts, and the guy brags about it for 5 years that he's the greatest champion of all time. Meanwhile, he gets his ass beat every time he fights. This guy's got two belts, and no one's ever heard of him. I mean, this guy that just won, he won two belts. I've never heard of him. I don't even know. I've never heard of him. I didn't know he even existed. Don't even tell me you know who that is, Mafia.
No, I had no idea who he was in this fight. Like I said, you know, I was looking it up before. I looked it up earlier before, and I was bringing it up. I didn't say names. I just said the middleweight champ and light heavyweight champ because I didn't know who these guys were. No offense to them. Probably great.
Well,
fighters,
you did that today on Coast to Coast. You at least said, yeah, the guy's he's already the champ. You got the one champ taking on the other champ, so it's going to be a really good fight. And it was. The problem was it's hard for me to watch the fight when I'm sitting here talking to Felix and interviewing him and having to think and react and talk to him about all these horses. I told him the truth. That was really the first time I've even, you know, it's the truth. It's the first time I've even looked at the race and even looked at the horses. I will admit I saw the favorite of the race, like, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, I heard that horse was going to be the favorite, but at 2-1, whatever. But just like everything else, you know, it's like every time there's a favorite for these things, Da Silva does the same thing. Watch, I guarantee you Friday night, he wants nothing to do with that horse, the favorite. They want nothing to do with it. And no one ever has anything to do with the post horse in the Kentucky Derby. I think it was 80, Fernandez was the last one to win it on a rail in like 89. I mean, that's going way back. I was 2 years removed from college the last time a horse won it from the one. So whatever. A lot of people didn't even know that it was back, you know, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and Belmont. Remember, they ran them with no fans, right? Like last year, right, Mafia? No fans at any of them.
Yeah, with the pandemic. I think they even, not only did they run them without fans, but you had the schedules all screwed up, I think. I don't think they ran them in the same order.
That's right.
When they ran them was different. It wasn't the same time of year. It was all, you know, messed up.
Yeah, they ran them. I don't even remember, but I think it was, I think it may have been like Preakness, then Belmont, then Kentucky Derby. I don't even know, but you're right. It was definitely not in the right order. It was definitely not in the right order. Because usually that the Belmont's the last race in June, late in June, and it's at in New York at Belmont, and it's hot as Haiti. I mean, it's 100 degrees out there for that race. And last year, I think they ran it in the fall, right? They ran it in the fall. It was in the, like, you know, it was not hot. It was you know, cool.
I think they ran the Belmont first, and then it was October when they ran the Kentucky Derby, like 2 months later.
Yeah. So I remember that. Now it's going to be kind of back to normal. All right, so early on, fourth quarter, Phoenix leads the Clippers 86-80. 86-80 is the count there in terms of the NBA late night. And then the Jazz are blowing out the Kings 116-74 after three. The Wizards beat the Lakers by nine. The Knicks blew out the Bulls 113-94. Heat by five over the Spurs. That pushed at five. I had the Heat to win, Spurs plus five. Magic beat the Cavs by five. Sixers blew out the Hawks. Celtics by nine over the Hornets. I think they were getting 7.5, something like that. Maybe 6.5. Blazers 130-109 over the Grizzlies. That's a huge win for Portland on the road in Memphis, blowing out the Grizzlies. I'm surprised at that one. Nuggets by a bucket over the Pelicans. They were laying four. They win by two. So that was a drag. By the way, Kershaw had a big game today in that 8-0 Dodger win. Finally, they beat the Reds after losing two. Kershaw had a great day, held them to four hits, something like that. Padres are up 7-3 on the Diamondbacks in the seventh in Zona. Giants lead the Rockies 4-0, top seven in the city by the Bay. Royals beat the Pirates 9-6. Red Sox 1-0 over DeGrom and the Mets at Citi Field. Yankees 7-0 over the O's. So they've taken the last two from Baltimore. Twins in the day, 10-2 over the Indians. Marlins in the day, 6-2 over the Brewers in Milwaukee. Nationals beat the Jays 8-2. Rays 2-0 over the A's. Braves 10-0 over the Cubs, blowout style. Phillies 5-3 over the Cardinals. Angels 4-3 over the Rangers. Astros 7-5 over the Mariners. And the Tigers White Sox was postponed. Hockey, Vegas leads in the third with 6 minutes left. And it's 4-2 over the Avalanche. Ducks and Kings are 2-2 after two in Staples. Sharks lead the Coyotes 3-2, 11 left in the second. Senators 6-3 over the Canucks in the afternoon. The Blues came back and beat the Wild. They were down 3-2. They won it 4-3 in mini. And the Leafs all over the Canadiens 4-1 at the Bell Center. And the Oilers beat the Jets again. Beat them 6-1 last night. Beat them 3-1 tonight. There you go. It's still a 5-point lead for the Suns, second in the West, 89-84 of the Clippers, third in the West. So a good one going on in the Valley on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, so Pharrell on the bench, I don't know if you saw this or not tonight, Mafia, but Bryce Harper took a 97-mile-an-hour heater to his head. He got beaned in the head and was down for the count, and he left after he got hit in the face is where he got beaned. He got beaned right in the face, not in the head, not on the helmet. He got beaned right in his face. And then after the game, he did have all kinds of CAT scans and everything else, and they came back negative. He's fine. And he even did an interview and said he's fine. And he did like an Instagram post or something. He's like, look, I'm all right. My face is still here. Everything checks out. I'm okay. Just want to let you know. See you soon. I'll be back. But he had to leave the game when he took a massive heater, almost 100 miles an hour to the face. and your boy Girardi was livid. And Joe, he threw the ump out of the game. He gave, your boy Joe Girardi came out and had a meltdown, and he ejected the ump. The ump ejected him, but Girardi ejected the ump first. He gave him the Joe West. He gave him the hook and threw him out. He's like, "You're horrible. You're ejected." And then the ump ejected him. That video is awesome. We got to play that on Coast to Coast of him getting ejected. It was great. Your boy Girardi gave him the hook. He gave him the big heave-ho. Suns up 91-86. Going to be a good finish in the Valley. They got a FanDuel Sportsbook going in there in that arena. You're going to be able to go right to the window when you go watch CP3 play, son. Get a little prop bet going on CP3. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 to 6 on Coast to Coast. Then it's 7 on Channel 204 during the draft. Then I'll be on at 10 and 11 on Sports Grid. See you tomorrow. Have a good night. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.